The agenda, I've asked Sharon to put in moderate at the end of the minute, hoping all the will receive two sets of minutes. Before maybe I do some welcome remarks, I'd like to just announce and maybe some few apologies. We received an apology from DG. I didn't read the details of the reason why DG is here. Also, I've received an apology from Boss Mandela. Apology saying that because grandfather is sick, I'm not taking the hospital. Also, I've received an apology from John Stanhaven saying that he just joined us. He's in another meeting with the leader of the party, so he's just going to join us. Are there any other apologies besides the ones that have been given? If none, members, I would like to welcome you and members of the officials from MISA, led by Masak. Okay. But I think today we need some introduction so that you know who is supposed to be this way. Mr. Full House, so that you know who is who, and I think it's yourself the second time coming here. We are not in the village. It's well known who is deployed in which subsection in the structure. Members, we'll be receiving a presentation from Mr. We know that after making some performance audit to municipalities by the department through the turnaround strategy, so they thought that most municipalities are not well rested in having some technicians, qualified technicians in most municipalities, and also to get through and maybe to manage to get to our target of operation in audit, the department managed to come up with the municipal infrastructure support agent, I'm pronouncing it right. Municipal infrastructure support agents who are now, you know, saying agents, not agency. That's what I said, is it pronouncing? Okay, now we want to, I've learned. the MISA is deployed to different municipalities, especially to take district that has been identified by cabinet minister. And there were 108 municipalities that have been identified struggling having skills in terms of technical skills. So I will be listening to that municipality, and also Mr. has been asked to assist municipalities in how they can utilize MIG fund, as you know that MIG is a conditional grant, which municipalities have difficulties in depending on how are they going to use it in such big projects. like infrastructure. Without any waste of time, I'll give over to Mr. Masao, maybe to introduce the team and then get into the presentation.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, Chair, members. My name is Ongama, and the surname is Masao. I am the acting head of NIPA. We officials, we don't only have officials from NIPA, but also have officials from DCOM. And then maybe I will start on my extreme left. Kwatelani Bologo. Kwatelani is the head of sector support. As well as grants management in Mesa. Next to Kwatelani, we've got Peter Fender, who's the head of technical support. And then next to Peter, is Zakelin Mai, who is the head of capacity building. On my right, immediate right is Tiabonga Dube, who's the acting director of NIPA. Next to, I don't know whether it was deliberate that the two CFOs next to each other, but next to Tiabonga we got Mr. Chuda, Mawetu Chuda, who's the CFO of Cooperative Governance, Cooperative Governance. Next to Mawetu, we've got Danda Lopimba, who's the head of legal vendor and contract management. Next to Danda, we've got Lizeka Kwabini, who is the senior manager for office management and support within the firm. And next to Lizeka, we've got the famous Shanaz Majid, who's with the Department of Cooperative Governance, responsible for provincial provincial and municipal governance support for qualified space. And I the colleague sitting behind Richard Tata, who is responsible for strategic and business support within MISA. And planning support within I think that's about it for, in terms of the officials from both MISA and DICOM. And I think let me start by thanking the committee for the opportunity to come and share with you what we are about as MISA and as well as the work that we've been doing so far. Going straight into the presentation, Madam Chair, if you allow me to. That's the content of our presentation. It's quite a comprehensive presentation dealing with all those issues, including MISA, the governing component, public entity versus governing component, the difference between MISA and SEMSA, MISA's vision and mission, MISA's mandate, the key strategic objectives, roles and responsibilities, current support to municipalities, understanding in 2012 phasing, as well as major challenges, and then we'll conclude ultimately and look at the way forward. In terms of the introduction, MISA was established as a government component with effect from 11 May 2012. And in the MISA report directed to the Executive Authority of COPTA. DCOP, I think it's important to highlight the fact that DCOP is MISA's principal department and is therefore, and MISA is therefore, operates within the department's broader policy position. The establishment of MISA was one of the local government turnaround strategy targets. And it was really meant to introduce a turnaround mechanism in dealing with the provisioning, refurbishment, and maintenance of municipal infrastructure.
Chair, may I interrupt for a second? Sorry about that. Do we actually have an exact copy of that presentation, or do we have an earlier version? My eyes are constantly running around trying to find what you're speaking to. I don't know if it is. Thank you, Chair, and I think it's opportune that we apologize for that. Just getting back to the presentation, in fact, I just indicated that it was established with effect from 11-8-2012, and it reports that it was the executive authority of OCTA. And I highlighted the fact that DHOC is MISA's principal department, and MISA therefore operates within the department's broader policy positions. And that establishment of MISA was one of the targets of the local government turnaround strategy. And really introduced to deal with the issues of the provisioning, establishment, and maintenance of municipal infrastructure. And I think we thought it's also important to just indicate that in 2011, anticipating the establishment of MISA, the government took a decision to unbundle Sienza Manje, which at the time was with the Development Bank of Southern Africa, with the infrastructure component transferred to COCTA, and the financial management component of Sienza Manje transferred to National Treasury. And as the government component, MISA has been allocated its own operational budget, which is ring-fenced within both three of COCTA. And during the MTF period, we've been allocated an amount of 820 million rand, which is really divided into 262 million for the current financial year, 274 million for financial year 2014-15, and 284 million for financial 2015-16. And this highlights what the key features of government components. And in accordance with the explanation of government components, MISA is operationally separate from the Department of Cooperative Governance. And once again, I think it's important to indicate that it's however linked to it for policy purposes. And MISA is funded through Parliament via the budget vote of DHOC, vote 3. The head of MISA is the accounting officer in terms of the Public Finance Management Act. And the head of MISA is directly accountable to the Minister of COCTA. In exercising his or her duties, the head of MISA is required to cooperate with the Director General of COCTA towards achieving COCTA's broad strategic objectives, as well as in providing information to assist the executive authority in exercising his oversight responsibility. The minister has a discretion in whether to establish a board or not. But if established, such board can only play an advisory role and doesn't or would not have executive powers. And staff of MISA are employed in terms of the Public Service Act. Those transferred from DHOC retain all their existing conditions of service, and we've got quite a few in amongst the management that you have today. MISA may share services with DHOC, and currently we have a limited shared services arrangement with the department, particularly with regards to finance, human resources, and internal audit. However, we also work closely in terms of the programs with the department.
we also just highlight the difference between MISA and CNSA money. And we indicate that the key differentiators between CNSA money and MISA are the following. The first one is that MISA's process of identifying municipalities for support is based on the assessment of their institutional capacity, not on the lending requirements of municipalities. Support by MISA is more targeted in that it focuses on addressing the challenges in a particular municipality based on the outcome of a thorough diagnostic process. So before we implement any program, we undertake a thorough diagnostic assessment, which then informs the program the support program that we then implement. In providing technical support, MISA takes a holistic view of a municipality as an institution. In certain instances, the delivery of infrastructure is hampered by dysfunctionality in other areas within the municipality. In such instances, MISA will then mobilize support from other relevant stakeholders to ensure that we respond holistically to the challenges that face that particular municipality. Furthermore, as a rule, MISA seeks to obtain full buy-in from the municipalities selected for specific support prior to the provision of such support. This is crucial in ensuring that municipalities are not passive recipients of technical support. So there will then be a memorandum of understanding that is entered into between MISA and the municipality, which memorandum will then outline what are the responsibilities of MISA and what are the responsibilities of that municipality to ensure that there is a turnaround in that particular municipality. And when the municipality doesn't play its role, we indicate that you are not playing your part, and we then would engage and ensure that the municipality plays its part. MISA works in partnership with provinces in planning, provisioning, and monitoring of support, and this is extremely crucial to ensure that the support that is provided is aligned also to the plans of the province. And the building of the capacity of municipality for long-term sustainability is a key element of all MISA support interventions. So we don't just provide technical support and then we leave it at that. We ensure that accompanied by the technical support that we provide is a building capacity plan that then has to be implemented by the municipality so that when we leave or exit that municipality, the municipality is able to operate on its own. As a government component under Kota Portfolio, MISA is well positioned to leverage on existing intergovernmental relations structures to strengthen commitment from all partners to improve the municipality's performance. And this is one of the key lessons that we learned from CNSA Manager, that without necessary authority that the government holds, municipalities tend to ignore what the support that they get provided or don't necessarily comply with the terms of the support. But with us being part of CONCA, that happens. Around the vision and mission, the vision of MISA is sustainable municipal infrastructure, to have sustainable municipal infrastructure provisioning throughout South Africa. And the mission, we really just decided to keep it into two key areas, which is to provide technical support to municipalities towards accelerated delivery and effective management of municipal infrastructure. And the second one, the capacity building one, is to enhance technical capacity of municipalities to ensure effective planning, delivery, operations, and maintenance of municipal infrastructure for sustainable service provision. And therefore, really linked to the two, the vision and mission are the core mandate, which is also two-pronged, and which is to render technical advice and support in order to optimize municipal infrastructure provisioning. And secondly, is to coordinate the development and implementation of programs designed to strengthen the capacity of municipalities in planning, developing operations and maintenance of their municipal infrastructure. To pause there, particularly around the second point, when we say to coordinate, because one of also the lessons that we learned as we were undertaking the research towards establishment of MISA was that there are myriads of support programs, particularly capacity support programs that are provided to municipalities, And unfortunately, the impact of all these myriad of support programs doesn't necessarily, those support programs don't necessarily achieve the desired impact. And hence, we assure that we coordinate whoever wants to provide support. If we are there, we coordinate that support in that particular municipality. And MISA's roles and responsibilities, flowing from the mandate, MISA's primary role and responsibilities are therefore, one, to support municipalities to conduct effective infrastructure planning. Secondly, to support and assist with the delivery of infrastructure in municipalities. Thirdly, to support and assist with operations and maintenance of infrastructure in municipalities. Fourthly, to build the capacity of municipalities to undertake effective planning, delivery, operations, and management of municipal infrastructure. So it's the whole value chain of infrastructure planning, delivery, and management. And the strategic objectives are therefore as follows. One is municipal infrastructure diagnosis, which is the scientific and in-depth assessment of the state of municipal infrastructure required for the provision of water, sanitation, roads, electricity, and refuse removal services. Two is the issue of technical support, which entails providing specialized technical support to municipalities through deployment of technical experts and professional service providers to improve program, project, and contract management, as well as macro and micro planning regarding the development and management of infrastructure. The third one is the municipal capacity development, which involves the building and or strengthening of the in-house capacity of municipalities to be able to develop, operate, and maintain their infrastructure of their own in the medium to long term. The fourth one is different from the third one, in a sense that the third one relates to the specific municipality, whereas the fourth one talks to the sector capacity development and skills development interventions. And this refers, as I indicated, to interventions designed to enhance the technical capacity of local government. These include skills development programs as well as partnerships with tertiary institutions and professional bodies. And this really ensures that there's a larger pool of technical skills within the sector itself. And the last one is monitoring and evaluation, which involves monitoring of the development, management, and maintenance of the municipal infrastructure, as well as monitoring MISA's delivery against strategic objectives. So the monitoring and evaluation also talks to both internal monitoring and evaluation, as well as external monitoring and evaluation. Flowing from all the mandate and the key strategic objectives, we have developed the following programs in order to be able to deliver on our mandate to fulfill our roles and responsibilities. The first one is the Municipal Technical Support Program, which is the program that Beta Center is heading. And this one is to ensure that MISA provides technical support to those municipalities that require assistance with technical aspects of infrastructure planning, implementation, operation, and or maintenance. The support provided is based on a need assessment and agreement with municipalities, as I had indicated earlier. And this buy-in from municipalities is essential for ownership and sustainability of support initiatives. And the second program, which is headed by Kwatela Nipoloko, is the Sectoral Support, Coordination, and Grants, which ensures that resources from different departments and institutions are properly coordinated to address sectoral priorities towards eradication of service backlogs in water and sanitation, energy, solid waste management, and roads and stormwater. This program also supports municipalities to ensure effective utilization of grants, especially the municipal infrastructure grant. The next program, which is headed by Zakele Mai next to me, is the capacity development program, which ensures that technical capacity is developed in local government for planning, delivery, operating, and maintaining municipal infrastructure. Capacity development is implemented through various programs, including apprenticeships, young professionals, experiential learning, and rotating key municipal officials to the private sector and academia for exposure. Bursaries are made available for studies in built environment, especially engineering, to build a pipeline of future technical officials for municipalities. The program also provides mentorship opportunities for technical officials in municipalities to meet the requirements for professional registration. Working in partnership with other public and public institutions, private sector companies, tertiary institutions, and professional bodies forms an important part of MISA's capacity development strategy. The next program, which is vendor legal and contract management, which standards of people on the screen right, heads, ensures that professional service providers are deployed to municipalities that require technical support, effectively managing their contracts and performance, and provide legal and contract management support to MISA. And then the last program is monitoring and evaluation. And MISA is currently developing a system that will ensure effective monitoring and optimization of the performance of the municipal infrastructure. Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, just moving to the highlights of the current support that we are implementing in municipalities. A total of 91 municipalities have been assisted to develop and adopt integrated support plans. These are part of the 108 municipalities prioritized by COPA for LGCAS support. We will be assisting the balance of those municipalities to ensure that we develop the integrated support plans during this financial year. Included among these 100 municipalities are the 23+1 districts selected by Cabinet for focused support towards the reduction of their high service backlogs. An integrated support plan for each municipality was informed by the outcome of a diagnostic assessment conducted. The approach is to ensure that support provided is tailor-made for each municipality to respond to its peculiar challenges identified during the assessment. Support being provided to these municipalities is intended to mainly address their respective weaknesses in infrastructure and service provision. And now, zooming directed to the technical support. MISA currently has 68 technical experts who are engineering and planning professionals deployed to support a total of 107 municipalities throughout the country. In addition to the deployed professionals, a total of 25 professional service providers have been contracted and assigned to support prioritized municipalities. The main role of PSPs is to assist each municipality in addressing specific issues pertaining to infrastructure and service delivery backlogs and effective maintenance of existing infrastructure. And coming to the program of municipal capacity building. As indicated earlier, a key component of MISA's capacity development program is artisans development program. Currently, 32 municipalities in 8 provinces are being supported with 311 apprentices, of which 228 are what are referred to as section 13, who are unemployed graduates, and 83 section 28, who are municipal employees, respectively. I want to qualify that word graduate, that not we're not talking here the graduates from universities. I think we're using that word generally in that instance to include also FET, people that are coming from FET colleges. A total of 114 apprentices have passed their trade tests and entered the program as qualified artisans. A total of 469 apprentices, including the current 311, and 115 new recruit apprentices will be placed in 56 municipalities for capacity development during the current financial year. Also, during the current financial year, 100 technical managers and directors will be put on an upskilling or reskilling program. And 100 municipal engineering professionals will be mentors to support them towards professional registration with respective professional bodies. And we are working with universities and professional bodies to ensure that we implement these these two programs. Through our Bazaar program, intended to benefit students in technical fields, MISA has so far sponsored 91 students. In terms of sector and grant support, the highlights are that MISA is collaborating with sector departments in the provision of integrated support that seeks to address service and infrastructure backlogs, appropriate service delivery models, and sector-specific skills needs in respect of the key sectors such as water and sanitation, energy, waste collection, and municipal roads. MISA is also providing support to 24 district municipalities that are water services authorities in accordance with a joint support plan which was developed and is being implemented in conjunction with the Department of Water Affairs. Also in collaboration with DWA, backlog analysis for water has been completed for all the 24 districts. Analysis shows backlogs per settlement classified in terms of backlogs due to lack of infrastructure, backlogs due to non-functional infrastructure, backlogs due to lack of resources, and backlogs due to new settlement extensions, which is the growth backlog. Work is underway to align the current funding, which includes the MIG, the Regional Bulk Infrastructure Grant, as well as the MWIC and other, to address identified backlog per village or settlement. Also, under sector and grant support, just the highlight is that in Omar Tambo, an integrated support that combines the work of MISA, Treasury, and Provincial Department of Local Government is being implemented and has improved the district spending on its funds. The program is focusing on improving the budget and treasury office, and there are three specialists that have been deployed by Provincial Treasury. Improving organizational development, there are two specialists that have been deployed by the Department of Local Government and Traditional Affairs, the Eastern Cape, and improving the technical department, where the service provider deployed to provide three specialists on project and contract management, design engineering, and water quality specialists. Also, another district, which is one of the 24 that we thought we will highlight, is Vembe District, where MISA has piloted a program that will see 56 skilled personnel trained and permanently employed when we absorbed in the district over the next 2 years to address their skills challenges in relation to water provision. This program has affected many districts, and currently we are assessing requests from Mobani, Sisong, and Capricorn districts, and we continue to receive requests with regards to this particular program. And in terms of just at a local level, we thought let's highlight one in Mafeking, where MISA deployed MIG turnaround specialists since March 2013. This improved MIG expenditure from 0% to 17%, with indications that over 80% of MIG will be spent by end of this financial year. The next slide just highlights the budget of MISA during the current financial year. I must apologize. In fact, no, it's the last financial year. That is correct, 2012-2013. And the allocation, the brief overview of MISA budget allocation was as follows. The total allocation was 196 million rand. The actual expenditure was 149, and an expenditure of 46 million rand, which equals an expenditure of 76.15%. And in terms of the underspending on the 2012-13 budget, under the compensation of employees, the other expenditure of 11.8 million rand was mainly attributed to the following reasons: that the process of transferring some officials from DECOG to MISA took longer than expected, as this had to be a consultative process between DECOG and the affected officials. The transfer process was eventually agreed on and finalized in October 2012. And furthermore, not all earmarked officials agreed to the proposed transfer. But also, the other reason was the external recruitment process could only be initiated upon the completion of the above process, so that you don't go out and recruit when you actually have the skill within the core that would need to be transferred. So we only went out in terms of external improvement after we had looked inside. The under expenditure in terms of goods and services, an amount of 36.7 million rand was due to the delays in rolling out the technical support to municipalities as a result of the following: that the delays in the approval of the integrated support plans by municipal councils, which is a precondition for the implementation of support, partly resulted in MISA not being able to roll out its support immediately. I think initially, just to indicate that initially we did encounter a bit of, we won't call it resistance, but I think the municipalities were kind of cynical in their approach, but after a while, only then municipalities got into MISA's support interventions and started seeing a number of municipalities adopting their integrated support plans by the council. The procurement of technical support by professional service providers was initiated once the ISPs were adopted and approved by the municipalities. The appointment process was only finalized during January and February 2013. Insufficient internal capacity also contributed to the under expenditure. The unspent fund, I think we just indicated to the committee that the unspent funds had been committed by the end of the financial year, but not yet contracted at the end of the financial year. So the rollover application was submitted to National Treasury, and we are awaiting their approval. They have been engaging us quite extensively on this matter, and the signs are pretty positive. With regards to major challenges, one of the biggest challenges currently facing MISA is the limited resources, both human and financial, constraining MISA to extend its support to more deserving municipalities. The other challenge is for MISA to continue finalizing its administrative systems and processes while at the same time ensuring that support is not compromised. The delays in the timing of MOUs by municipalities in order to expedite MISA's provision of support also is one biggest challenge. In conclusion, Chair and Honourable Members, and the way forward, the development of MISA's strategic plan for period 2013-14, 2015-16, and annual performance plan for 2013-14 is almost complete. These plans set out the key support programs to be implemented for municipalities with corresponding key performance indicators and targets for the coming 3 years. The development of operational systems and processes, as well as the strengthening of MISA's management and administrative capacity, is also being expedited. This is expected to be completed by September 2013. We continue to adapt our programs and processes based on lessons learned in the implementation process, as we regard MISA as a developing organization and transforming organization. We also continue to strengthen our collaboration with various stakeholders and partner institutions and issues of coordination and additional resources. I thank you, Chair. The remaining slides are slides that really give more specific information in terms of the slides that we have already outlined. So we'll refer them to those slides where the members ask for specific questions. Thank you.
Maybe listening to the presentation also linking it from the presentation and the MISA that was done last week at the Select Committee on Appropriation. I think they ended up taking a decision that they need in the questions that they've asked, their written replies. I think those questions were raised directed to MISA. I think you must make sure, liaise with DECOG, that you the response made that that committee members and that chair give them an explanation, because the explanation given that side is different from the presentation we are receiving now. Unfortunately, you were not there, but CFO was there, maybe sit down and listen and maybe and give more flesh to the responses that, in the questions that they have. But I have to differ. We are under challenge. The first challenge saying that we've got limited, under limited resources on human and financial, yet on the outside you're saying there was some understanding. The big concern in last week's meeting at appropriation was they focused mainly on that understanding. The response from the department was saying that the understanding you incurred was that you were busy establishing yourself, putting yourself as an agent with a structure, with your own office and the like. That's why some of the folks that we didn't manage to proceed then. That led to the understanding. And yet now you are giving us another different picture. That's what I'm saying. Those members were there listening and you could see that that the portfolio committee is not even satisfied with any of the responses they received that day. So I hope maybe you liaise with the portfolio committee, because they are going to debate their appropriation before adoption of all the portfolio committee's budget votes, and go there having that picture so they'll say something else. Members, without any waste of time, I'll give now time for comments and questions. I'll start from you. When the Honourable Boinamo, Peter Mahedi Chetelo, and Honourable Sehale Eswa. In that sequence, thank you. Thank you, Chair.
My also picks up on the issue of the posts and the funding and so on. These 81 technical experts that they have moved over from DBSA to MISA, when did they come over? And then on to that, they shared services between Comptair and MISA with regard to finance, HR, internal audit. Does MISA envisage having it completely its own structure? And why would it want its own structure when ZPOC does have this in place? Is that not duplication? Are we not setting up the hierarchies in our own system in terms? Can't these services be shared? I mean, we say municipalities go out and share services with the state municipalities. So if we're saying, why can't we pull that then through to the departments as well? Must each one have its own complete component? Can't services be shared there as well? And then when MISA moves into the municipality, because we said that I'd like to see a rollout of, it would have said, yeah, we've moved into Alfred Nzoh, we've moved into Western area, Ransendang, Merakong, but I would like to see a complete breakdown of, say, in Western area we're busy with this project, that project. So that at the end of the day we can see, when we get oversight, this was the start of the project, or this project was hampered, it was standing still for a long time, we need to move in, this is how the project. In order for us to do our oversight in an efficient way. So if we can have that report as to moving into a province, moving into a district, moving into a municipality, what specifically would need to be involved in from your supply chain management processes, or from appointing your contractors or whatever. So if we can have the same part of the report, the qualified artisans that you're putting into municipalities, our artisans are sought after around only within in our country, but outside our borders. And we know that our artisans are leaving, they're going to other countries. I have to put a retention strategy in place, especially those artisans that we are paying for their studies. Are we trying them to wherever in a country for at least a certain amount of time? Because they're sought after and they're moving out. So do we have a retention strategy for especially those that we paid studies for? Chairperson, then I'm going to request that we get quarterly reports on meters activities within these municipalities or districts, so that we can track what we've just asked for earlier. I'm going to pause that, Chair. Thanks. Thanks, Honourable Minister. Maybe to add to the first question of saying that, can you please maybe explain that you'll be able to understand the technicians or experts deployed, the technical experts deployed, the ones that were transferred from DPSA, the 81 and the 68 technicians, technical experts that are deployed to the 107 and 70, is it the same team of experts? Or if you add the 81 and the 68, what's the difference? Can you please explain that? I've recognized my Honourable Bon Homme.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for this report. There's a lot of things going through my mind, but I only leave it down to two issues I'd like to discuss. One is that the age is only formed 3 years old. But you look at the amount of work that we've done and we've come out in the facilities and covered, it's hard to understand that it was done, the amount of work it is in a year. So I'd like to know how much capacity building has taken place. I cannot see a job being thoroughly done with something in intelligent in 12 months. It's something that I don't understand. I need a proper explanation of that. Another one is that the country always pushing forward the bringing back of apprentices and artisans. It's something that they did away in the past, but bringing back is vitally important for the country itself. I was in a public meeting yesterday, and it was a Sunday, and it was about 600 people full in, and the question was all about what is our government doing to our youth in training them in work, and they had the Minister of Finance with me, and the question was, that you talk about training programs taking out all those children. But all the training programs are given to, although we all said Africans, are put into the hands of black Africans. That you don't get white youth, Indian kids, or colored kids drawn into those programs, but it's done within the South African, mainly within the African townships. And that creates major problems. I would like that in future, but we erase catching place the fastest stuff too. I don't believe in it. But we're still acting under that kind of that colored green and white. I don't believe on the colored. Colored the party system of was designed to the needs of a party. So I feel self to be called a colored. I still recall it. But for the majority of people out there, they're not particularly educated enough to understand that. And they ask you what you're doing for our colored. Or our colored benefited by it. Our Indian students, Indians benefit from it. We had a white person who said her children will leave the country to go to other countries to have a child educated or to get jobs. It was fair that we all said Africans, you know, but we suffer from some of our fathers or grandparents. And these kind of things I would like to be, with the idea of the kind of our parents or our children being trained, to give us in those categories the number of Africans, the number of colored Americans, so we can argue our case in place. Yesterday or Sunday, but people would argue our case because we have facts in front of us. And the problem would be getting in front of questions on all the issues. Thank you. That's all for now.
Yeah, that's a big challenging point to take on that one. Thanks, Honourable Bonkome. Honourable Boynam.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't know what page is this, whether it's 20, rather 19, because the other side is 20. I think it's page 20, where the presenter actually alluded to the fact that MISA is engaged in collaboration with sector departments in the provisioning of integrated support that seeks to address service and infrastructure backlogs, appropriate service delivery models and sector-specific skills needs in respect of the key sectors such as water, sanitation, energy, waste collection, and municipal roads. I was in Mafeking a few weeks ago, and when you walk in Mafeking, it's garbage all over. The roads are there. There's no road in Mafeking, even in Mabaki itself. And then I'm wondering, where in Mafeking really this happened? Because I am staying up there. Secondly, how is this identification of municipalities for support done? And what qualifies municipalities for meter support? And what happens to the municipalities that do not improve even after being given the necessary support? And also, who does MISA use to actually assist or support the municipalities? Do you use own staff, or do you employ consultants? And who's monitoring MISA's support to who is monitoring MISA support to municipalities to check whether quality support is offered to those specific municipalities? The last question here is relating to the proposed transfers of certain officials from DCOP to MISA. And the presenter told us that some of the officials actually resisted the transfer. Now, how did their resistance actually affect the running of MISA, and how was that ultimately resolved? Thank you.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks to the presentation, Professor. MISA is a big bird on your shoulders. We have very high hopes for MISA, because frankly, the country is in dire trouble. If you guys don't manage to get it going, then I have very little hope for what's going on out there. So I hope you can do what you are to be doing. Let me just start with a few things. Number one, I'd like to see you on a gag rag. I've got absolutely no understanding of how you're structured. And I find it very confusing when I listen, because when I look at bits of paper I got here, I've got a whole lot of numbers that make no sense. It's partly because of the question asked earlier, but how many funded posts are there? I've got a figure summed at 26 funded posts, but I've also got a figure of these 81 technical experts. I've also got figures of your 68 technicians running around outside there. So I don't know who's who in the zoo, where these people are. How many is all what you do in-house? You could also refer now to professional service providers, which I presume are consultants that you contract with. Are they individuals or companies? So, you know, some sense of what your in-house professional capacity expertise is, and to what extent you use external consultants and then external service providers. So third category, if not the same as the second category, I'd like to know that. Now, one of your key ways, when you start helping a municipality, the starting point is that municipality's got to want to be helped. So you have this agreement with them. But it has been the case in the past that there are municipalities that need help badly but are not prepared to engage to get it. That certainly happened under the DPZ side of things. How are you finding that? I mean, are you meeting any resistance at all to your interventionary role? And if so, please speak to that. Some of these slides are not numbered, but anyway, page 5, you speak to your diagnostic processes. It is Does it all in-house that you start from scratch, or you use also inherited stuff? I mean, for example, the administration, this is the demarcation borders and your capacity assessments. Do you use those, or do you start to know those each time? On slide 6, you speak to yourselves working with the provinces in the support programs. Now, I've always been of the view that one of the greatest failings of municipalities is the provinces don't do their job in giving support to municipalities. So I would not want to see a situation now where you guys do the work and the provinces claim support, claim credit for their municipalities working simply because they're working with you. To what extent are you finding provinces playing a very meaningful role, or if ever, an obstructionist role, or whatever? I'll just move through one at a time. That was page 6. So page 7, you speak to your core mandate. Now, the second one interests me, which is the coordination and development and implementation of programs to strengthen the capacity of municipalities, blah, 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 blah. Now, essentially, the way I see it is government, and that's the whole of government, including COCTA and everybody else, has failed to do this for 15 years. So what makes you think, with your minuscule little number of people, you're going to do it? I mean, you know, if government can't coordinate the development and implementation of capacity programs, and it hasn't been able to do so for so long, what makes you guys so special that you can do this? I mean, I think it's just a very tall order. If you do it, I'll take my hat off, but frankly, I've got no particular reason to think that you've got any more ability than anybody else. So what makes you think you're going to succeed? I wish you would do it, of course, but convince me. It's interesting to see one of your municipal diagnostic things. If you have an example, what is it, like a 100-page document, a 5-page summary? I mean, what does it involve? It'd be interesting to see one, just to have a cast one's eye over it. Then if you look at all these things you actually do, who pays for it all? Okay, you've got a budget, you pay obviously, but does the municipality partner with you, does it have to contribute anything financially, other than people? It might be interesting to know whether it makes a difference that the municipality actually puts something into it, whether it's got a more serious attitude to what it makes out of it, as opposed to just receiving it. Now, I know your argument here is that, oh, no, you have this initial memorandum of understanding, so we all love each other and we want it. Is that sufficient, and will it be sufficient in the longer term? Another issue that I find completely critical is, especially what you're going to be doing, is the approach of the municipalities to maintenance budgets. Now, this has been a critical issue from day one. The municipalities don't want to spend money on maintenance. But it seems to me that often what you want to do on the infrastructural side either arises from lack of maintenance or is going to require maintenance. And if the municipalities don't budget for it, how do you deal with that matter? Then related to that is, I assume that when you go into a failed municipality, in a number of instances, the infrastructure will have collapsed already. Certainly in respect of water, sanitation, there are thousands of examples of completely collapsed infrastructure that needs replacing. Who's going to replace it? I mean, the big resources go so far, but if a municipality is in dire trouble and has had its allocation and is spending it on roads or on something else, it's not necessarily being given, you know, I mean, I think Grass said we need, 60 billion, just about the water infrastructure, reticulation water infrastructure, so the money doesn't exist. So if the municipality is screwed up, has maintained what it's got, and is in trouble, who's going to fix it, and how? I'm interested also in your integrated support plans that they develop and adopt. I want to speak a little bit more about that. Do you give them a little template and they look at it, sign it, or do they develop it themselves? And then also, how does that integrated support plan speak to their own turnaround strategies? I mean, all these municipalities, even these ones in trouble, special ones in trouble, should have had and had approved their own turnaround strategies going back 4 years now. Yeah, well, in the 4 years since they should have done it. So presumably they all have these. Now you're coming along and saying, no, we've got a new thing called an integrated support plan that these municipalities have to develop. So my question is how that support plan speaks to the turnaround strategy that they already have. Now, next issue. Sorry, Chair, I've just got a string of issues. We're now in June, right? July we start a new budget cycle for municipalities. To the extent that what you want to have happen requires some sort of budgetary support by the council if there's nothing about it now, already going through for adoption in 5 seconds, then it's going to be there for the rest of the year. So I would imagine what you need to have done would have been months ago to have planned your interventions if there were budgetary consequences of the municipality in such a way that those are budgeted for in the current the year going forward. Has that happened? Then on the apprentices, I'm not quite sure I understand. I'm assuming that this whole apprentice program is inherited. Otherwise, it seems to me you're talking about one-year apprenticeships, and one-year apprenticeships are not skills training. It's just being a bricklayer or something. It's not terribly skillful. If you do a proper trade test, your plumbers, your electricians, I mean, these are 3-4 year artisanships. I'm assuming this is an inherited program, but what's your role in it, and what have you added to what was there before, if you've done it? You also make the statement that, for example, 100 municipal engineering professionals will be mentored to support themselves to gain professional registration. I don't understand that, because if you're an engineering professional, by definition, you must be professionally registered. If you're not registered, you're not an engineer. So how can you have 100 professional engineering professionals that are going to be supported to become registered? That seems to be meaningless to me. You mentioned, I mean, it's very good, got down to some detail in municipalities. We mentioned Bembe district. I listened to words quite clearly, and I'll make sure I understand this. What it says here is, and what you said, that 56 skilled personnel will be trained and permanently absorbed in the district over the next 2 years. And I think you said water and the effect of water. Now, I think it's great, but what criteria would you use to put so much effort into one district? Well, my question might be, is that going to be typical of your intervention that other districts have similar needs, or is this a kind of, you go in and give them a Rolls Royce approach, and then other guys, well, they'll wait their turn later, maybe they get nothing for a while, but when you get to them, maybe 2 or 3 years' time, you also give them 50 or 60 guys. How do you spread your, how do you make a choice that you're going to give these guys wholesale support like this, and other guys maybe they're not quite the same level of support? And then my last question, Chair, is the need for what you're doing out there, obviously, is vast. There's a huge need. How confident are you? Well, no, okay, not how confident are you. You obviously say you can be hugely confident. Just give us more money, we'll do it. But I'm just saying you'll give us more money and we'll do it. What is your ability to, as you stand now as a structure, with your resources, human and financial, what is your actual ability to deal with the problem? Can you hit 20% of the problem, 30% of the problem? Do you have some sort of sense of time frame and possible achievements within the time frame? Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. Chair, I'm sorry to start by saying sometimes you see less if you are not living in the same area or same South Africa as other people are living in. And when such things are mentioned, you ask yourself that, are you in Mars or are you in one of the provinces? I don't dispute what has been presented here, but if you think of where you come from or where you are working, you seem to ask yourself so many questions, and I've got few things that I would like to have explanation. And the first one is this Cesar Manje. The municipal manager had a problem with it, and I wish to hear what gives you that you can convince or some municipalities to work with MISA. That's the first question. The other one is you had a problem with MIG at MISA. There's something like 49 million at that, and then I don't know how can you try and help with MISA had a similar problem to that. If you can talk to us about that one, that can convince me. And here you say MISA currently it's slide 15, I don't know whether it's page 15 or it's rating 15 at the bottom.
current support to municipalities and technical support. I would like to have, if you can just tell us, if you have some results on the 68 technical that you have in MISA currently, 68 technical professionals deployed to support municipalities, and which municipalities and what support, if you can just be more explicit. And at the university, what criteria are you using to get this apprenticeship? And it pains me to hear that whenever, it's not only MISA, when presenters give an example, this municipality is more, I don't say it wrong, but Mopani, other provinces, but you never mention Northern Cape, mention Northwest. I just want to know why, and if you can tell me what MISA is doing in these two provinces, just some good results that might pep me up maybe. And then here in the underspending of 2012, there's you see there are some people who disagree, eventually disagreed. And then what happened when they disagree? What steps were taken? I would like to know about that. And then here in your major challenges, there's MISA to extend its support to more deserving municipalities. I would like to, how do you locate those that are more deserving than others? Because there are certain provinces that we can just say they don't have municipalities at all. And I would like the explanation of the more deserving ones. How do you come to that more deserving? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I'm covered by my colleague. But my colleague, Chair, is a person who can help me in the department, who helped me in MISA now. Who is who now? To be honest to ourselves. If you check on slide 15, if you have a MISA now, it's going to another 6 point, another 1,000. Who is the department was having also the conference. Now we have the MISA, who is playing another concert. If you think on this from the professional, you take the professional, the first property. Those are concerned again. What is going on there? To honest. If you said now, they said now on 2 to 6. Yeah. They said in the municipality received then the support. I'll go to one Harib in Joka. Are you going to support them or yeah, I want the process to support them? Well, this is the wisdom that but when it comes to the view to the religion. Because this is very bad. We ask ourselves, what is going on here? Who's who? Because the department has got it, you need to now they have got the mirror. Who's also doing the same thing that the department is doing. It's the same as that sometimes unfavorable for us. I'm covered for with the colleagues. We must be specific. If you want to mention them as COVID-19, what project we were going out to do an office, and we must be able to say, the meantime, the people who was here, who were working on the time here. Because now it's not because we must go out and do an office, and maybe then the next office will be prepared. We must be able to see. If you have a hotel to escape, go to and see and go to the hotel, so we can see. Now it's necessary not to have the check clear what they have done or what is the reason. What is the reason? I mentioned the towns and the flooding. Thank you.
Honorable Khalid,
sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jefferson, and thanks for the presentation. And I think most of my question has been covered, but I would like to do some emphasis on others. Like what Honorable Machoba has just said, it is a common practice that you've got consulted, a common practice that co-opters and support staff to the municipality to go and support the underperforming municipality. And there is a common practice that some municipalities are under administration. Now, I would like really Nisa to make a table to be telling us, even if it is not today, which municipality are being supported, so that when we do our oversight, we really match this thing to be saying, this municipality is Nisa, that other municipality is co-opter support staff, all those things. And what we have seen as a committee is this support at a certain stage are not welcomed at certain municipality. I want to know the experience you are having. Then on slide 15, you talk about 68 technical professionals. I would like to know, with this 68 technical professionals, which are they are covering rural municipality? And what skills are being transferred? Because when you are saying that out of 107, you got 68, it means that they are going around. They are not stationed. Therefore, I want to know what really do they assist as far as skill and capacity building is concerned. Then the last one, it is just this sort of question which has been asked maybe by each and every member, whereby you say that certain staff didn't move when they are supposed to be moved. One would like to know their conditions of service, because like as I was once a civil servant, I know that there is a clause in your in your contract which says that are you transferable? Can you be transferred? I want to know how does is there any that clause? And when you transfer them, did you transfer them by knowing that they are supposed to be transferable? And I think Honorable Stella have asked to see, and then what? I can just refuse and life goes on, then we understand the way we have understood. Then another, the last one on the same, same subject. How was the process handled? Because I don't see you waking up and come to me that Morosi Sekgaledi Sway, you have been transferred to MISA. I think there should be a process. And how was the labor relation process dealt with? Thank you, Chair.
Yes, I remember. I think some of your input, they've showed a slide of saying the municipalities that they are assisting getting in the explanation of kind of support. I think we need the last slide. We must just check. And I wanted to pull it up to see, because the committee has been once in first London Sudan municipality, so by MISA, it was there during our oversight visit. They made it a commitment that they will go back and assist. I just also to check whether they went there to assist, because yes, through the integrated approach from other departments, Department of Water Affairs and the like, that communities are receiving water now, down the water is getting. So I just want to check your contribution in that, because in our oversight visit, they helped us a lot to identify some of the technical issues on the site where we visited. Managed to identify out of 20 pumps, 2 are working, 18 is broken, of which Sinewa expects we are not going to be able to see all those. At the end, the Portfolio Committee managed to get a clarity whether this municipality has a difficulty in water scarcity, or its water supply through the broken facilities that are not maintained and repaired by the municipality. So I want to check also, because I was supposed to appreciate the intervention of MISA in that area, but it's not mentioned here. Maybe it's another message. I don't know. Maybe I'll hear from the department. And also, Connie, I'm coming back to you. I just want to come in where members have touched. The 25 deployed professionals who are saying they are contracted, members have highlighted that one. I just want to check whether they are consultants or what, in what credential basis we are talking about. And also the EMAX official, we once, as a department, before Minister Galoy took over, he said he's busy with restructuring, turning over the department. I just want to check the EMAX of the officials in the department, where those whom I can say, what is the word that I can use? They are double parking. Where those officials who were parking in the department. So I just want to check on that one. What happened and why is it that they refused? And during the compensation process that led you to this 46 million underspending, who are those employees who were compensated? Are those who needed to be transferred from DECOC to MISA? Can you just unpack to me on that one? I think my last edition will be the 1991 students that we have taken through, that supported through Bucharest. I just want to check the terms and conditions that you have extended it to them. What are they going to do after completion? Are they going to be allowed to be deployed to municipalities that need municipalities in those fields of expense that they've obtained, either to rural areas? For how long are they pilot to maybe obliged to stay in those rural areas? Because I think that would help to train them and to have terms and conditions how to retain them, and how are they going to assist those especially rural municipalities, because you know there is this challenge that after they've obtained whatever skills they were acquiring, then they will seek nakasha. What are the terms and conditions just to retain them? Honourable Musman?
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is on slide 15. Under current crop plot to municipality. Municipal capacity building. Bullet number 2. MISA has highlighted that they've got 32 municipalities in 8 provinces. Hence, in South Africa, we've got 9 provinces. My concern is, out of 9 provinces, what about the other provinces? Does it mean that particular province doesn't mean they need support from MISA in terms of apprentices. Or, at the same time, are they not part of budget, hence MISA had underspent? And which criteria have been used to the provinces to allocate the support in terms of apprentices? And secondly, MISA highlighted one of their challenges, that is a delay from municipality in signing MUS. My concern or my question is, at this moment, is there any measures in place to address this delay? Because it causes MISA itself not being able to roll out their support times. Thank you.
Chair, we wanted to have a second bite before I get over.
Yes, no, Chair, I'm covered on that a little bit. It was just a question of now. On the difference between the MISA and Tela Senza Manch. Now that as a whole, now MISA is working a full buy-in. If now there's no buy-in from MISA, what next? because the couple of the days and the delay were to decide the MOUs with Ms. Papal. If none of the delay efforts and also we are trying to get this by in and the system prepared and the people are suffering and what next? What do we do from the ambulance?
Thank you, sir. I'm having questions that emanate just from a general thinking. Much as all of us understand the situation around the municipality in our country, throughout. There are people who are checking the technicality, especially from the government. Ordinary people on the ground. I wonder if I'm not one of those, but I am definitely here. You see, we look into the municipalities as if, and we have concluded all of us, and even I believe the departments that are attached to, and even whole and other departments, that there is a lack definitely of service delivery on the ground. Hence, we see so many things like the unrest that we're experiencing throughout the whole country. It has got something to say. But just for now, if we look into the establishment of the, am I using the correct term, the establishment of this NISA, we all believe that it has come to the concern of the department, and even the whole of it, that something must be done with our municipalities on the ground. And also, we all believe that there is a realization that there is a lack of technical skills and the necessary requirement for the employees to deal with the question of service delivery on the ground. I think that is bottom line. In general, it may be interpreted otherwise, but what it simply means is that the whole government is concerned about service delivery on the ground. I'm just taking it from that point. Now, I wouldn't worry much about whether here the Manje is in operation or not, but NISA is for now taking the reins. Here I've got this point which is being indicated that NISA works in partnership with provinces in planning and so on to support. All of us, we know that the provinces have that constitutional mandate to support the municipalities on the ground on all aspects, I suspect. And all sectors that will make a service delivery possible on the ground. But now there is a second sector which is coming to work with. Because when you say you are going to work in partnership with, it means you are going to, whether it's a parallel structures that are going to aim in supporting one component as a municipality on those particular issues. So is there any line that is being drawn to show that we are going to work like this and this and this, so that we should not be termed as duplicating services or render the same services to the same component in any way? So those are the things that I think really we need to look into. It's not very difficult. It's a process. It has been left so many times that to rectify it will still take time. Because at the beginning, we all hoped that the municipality, being in the closest to the people themselves, the government is there to provide them. And when you look into it now, the difference is quite. Key strategic objective. I've indicated that I'm generalizing things, but please try to pick up whatever you think you can talk to so that we understand each other. The key strategic objectives, item number two, technical support. I'm still repeating what I've said. And I think also MISA is also aware that we are talking about one thing, but we need to find a strategy. you talk about, you know, you'll provide, I mean, you'll provide, what do I say? This entails providing specialized technical support to municipalities through deployment of technical experts and professionals to deploy. That means MISA is still prepared to go out and look for people who can provide this kind of skills. And obviously, as we are not government, you know how to operate, you still have to go and pay. Otherwise, you indicate those people that will be deployed, where do you get them? And for what specific progress are they going to deal with? You have explained so many things, but it needs also to be clarified. Because this terminology sometimes gives us not the same interpretation when you look. Others like yourself who are directly working with this thing, you have got your own interpretation, but somebody who's just reading it from the paper will have a different interpretation so far. So that's why we're asking something which you might feel as if, why these people are being asked this simple question. The other one, the sector capacity and skills development intervention, is the same. So all what we are saying is that this thing has been tried so many times and then we haven't seen any progress so far. But what's important again is do we have people on the ground in the municipality during the assessment, as we indicated earlier on? Do we have people on the ground that they have got those necessary requirements in terms of occupying the position that can be changed, that can be taken into but maybe for training to upgrade their status so that they can be able to work on the ground? If not so, what is it that we are going to do? Are you still going back to the table and say, no, we need a person of this nature to occupy this position because he has got this experience or he has got this thing and so on? Because it's still going to worry us for quite some time again. Because other people, I will not have a good term, but other people, you find out that they are moving in the position to be trained and occupy those positions. What are you going to do with those people? Shifting around personalities, it needs some legal activities thereof. And then finally, Jefferson, we have this. We have this as a sector and grant support, as indicated. Unfortunately, my document does not have numbers, but. It is being said, MISA is providing support for 24 district municipalities. I'm interested in that. That are water service authorities. You know, as an ordinary citizen, we always know, I mean, we have been told, and we know that, you know, the one that is supplying bulk water is this, and then the municipalities are providing, what do you use this term? Recirculation, they just recirculate to the household. So now, you see this example that I'm giving now, so general, that you find out there is a big dam around this area. And then here are the settlements around that big area. And the people are not getting water. And go to the municipality will try to rescue themselves and say, no, this is not our responsibility, shifting the responsibility. Go to the district will come out with their own reasoning, powers, and so many things that we, and the dam is there 100% full with water, whether the plantation is working or not, we will not know. This is a technical aspect again. But, you know, from ordinary man or an ordinary citizen, what is it that one should think about? Here is water, yes, but water is not being used by the people. That's around, a meter away from that particular area. So I think with MISA, the way you are talking, maybe, we know it might not be your real obligation to make the point that water is being provided. But the support that you are, the authority of giving support to the municipality might even sometimes make a difference. because the people on the ground are the ones that are telling the story exactly. You see, collaboration with the Department of...
I was saying, if I was Speaker of Parliament, I was saying that, honourable member, could you please try and wrap up? Your time will be expired.
Okay, thanks.
Honourable member, I propose a fresh tea outside. I propose a 5 minute break. We grab something and we come back and we listen to our response.
I'm going to go to the next slide. Thank you. Are we not duplicating and so on. Because the challenge for municipalities is where you have a situation where every body who happens to have an interest in municipality sending a support, then it will become chaos. Somebody comes from Treasury, somebody from the province, somebody from mine, so the coordination now is a problem. So when we were working with Treasury, it was made clear that this approach obviously tried to save all the whole of government in terms of assisting municipalities. And by itself, it's already a coordination in terms of sector support. So we do collaborate with them. We build joint work programs with them to make sure that when we support municipalities, we also do that taking into consideration their areas in terms of what they want to achieve. But I also help with the grant expenditure that obviously talk to the planning side of it and also the quality, including the value for money with regard to the grants that we have in the system. A number of them in infrastructure is energy, you get grants, water, you get grants, MIG. So these grants all flows to municipalities. But the question is that when these grants come to the municipalities, do they have capacity to spend in such a way that government gets the fair? So that is part of my responsibility in that regard. So the question that I want to start with here is the one that I think talks to Maskev, because we also doing some work there. And I think we agree with the Honourable Member that Maskev Town, when you look at it, it doesn't reflect it to be Maskev, the one that is supposed to.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we agreed on that regard. But Mafeking was not part of our first list of municipalities in support. But we got the call to say the municipality is seriously underspending. That was somewhere in January. They were at zero expenditure. So when we put our processes and we were able to start there in March, they were still having zero expenditure on their need allocation. And that obviously makes sense. Now, if you don't spend, then obviously you're not going to see any changes on the ground. So we get a meet turnaround specialist just to focus on that priority, because they were going to lose money by end of June. They lost 70 million last year, end of June. So for us as MISA, it's not acceptable to find a situation where people get punished and not get the services because of the capacity of the municipality to deliver. So we went there and we put a turnaround strategy, and to date the expenditure is already over 40%. And obviously on the ground, when you go on the ground and check what has been spent on, you can see the results. However, the challenge that we have in the municipality is that we have done that, but there are no people inside the municipality. So we're currently seeking the meeting with the mayor and the mayoral committee. Because we have been preaching that, and we are not going anywhere. So our support is just going to be a temporary thing. We'll help them. Now, when we leave, there will be nothing. So we'll want to help the legacy. So that is one challenge that we are in. But we hope that if we get that a commitment from the mayor and the mayoral committee, we'll be able to find a situation where there will be people so that our specialists, seasoned specialists who have been in municipality managing MIG in various municipalities and so on. And we feel that we can leave the legacy that can take that municipality forward in terms of turning around that path. One of the challenges that we found there was the issue of the decision taking. Sometimes we talk expenditure, the problem is that the municipal manager take 6 months to take decision. And they were not moving that. I remember when we started at some point, the whole municipality had to come from Africa to our office. And we get a number of specialists to even go through the evaluation of the tenants. And after that, we follow up with the municipality. You have to sign this thing, because otherwise you don't do that. There will be no expenditure. So that is one of the issues that we are doing with the municipality. Because for Africa, we said we don't just need somebody for technical skills, but it's a management technical person who's also able to talk to the manager there to be able to fast track things. So that's what we are doing in Mafike, and they're going very well. And obviously, because our focus is on MIG turnaround that part. We're not looking at the holistic approach, the way we do support the other municipalities. Because we just called in January to say, please help us, we are going to lose money to National Trade. So that's one thing that we did. And we agree, it's one thing that we are looking at. Every time when we go to Mafikeng for a meeting, the town really doesn't look good. But the potential of the municipality is there. I think we can assist them to look at those issues. And then the second question deals with the issues around Bembe district. In terms of what are we talking about, and how are we really going to take this to other district municipalities with similar challenges and the resources and so on. What happened is that, see, when we do diagnostic, we do a very thorough, I'm going to deal with this, with the one that says, you use your own tool or you can consider the demarcation board and so on. When we do diagnostic, we do a very thorough analysis. And usually what we do, we go through the office of the mayor and we get the mayoral committee. So we sit around the table, we explain what is MISA and what MISA is intending to do. And for MISA support to be effective, what would we require from the political leadership and administration? Why? What do we want them to do? And from there, I think the committee, committee then takes this and understands it, and then takes it to the council meeting, where they can also take council resolution to say, we have got this understanding about MISA, and we feel that this municipality needs this support. They take the issue. They have a resolution to say, MISA, please come and support us. Obviously, that is one of the areas, I think, that differentiates how we approach the support from the Tienza Manager program. And also the acceptability in terms of our support. The mayors, mayoral committee members, they know how MISA works and what MISA is supposed to do. And they appreciate our involvement very much. After that, what we do, we spend 2 days with the municipal manager and the senior manager around the table, from talking on institutional administrative issues, what are the challenges. We also come to the issue of the infrastructure, deal with that, come to the issue of finance, financial management, economy, local economy development, disaster management, and all those issues. It's comprehensive, because we know that we cannot just talk support by looking at a challenging infrastructure and you go there. So tomorrow when you leave, it's going to go back because it's caused maybe by HR issues or political issues, a number of issues. So we do that analysis. So how we did it this time around, we took all local government turnaround strategy, because we were quite involved in that process, took all LG tasks, analyzed them. What was the issues during 2009 that make this municipality not to perform? So we take that, we sit down with the management. We review, have we moved on this? Who came on board, who didn't came on board? And then after that, we come up with the support plan, which is very much integrated. Because some of the things we find that there are a problem of environmental affairs. Some of the problems are provincial issues. So all of these things have effects in terms of how can we turn around this municipality. So when we sit in that meeting with the municipal management, we also call all sectors, all provinces, the big team will go through this, so that we all live with common understanding of what really needs to be done in this to turn around this impact. So that's how we did our diagnosis assessment. We come with this integrated support plan, comprehensive, to say you cannot only look at infrastructure without looking at the finances of the municipality. You need to look at this in all. Now the plan says, treasury, you must go and do this. Law, you must go and do this. Municipal treasury, you must do this. But there are fiscal issues. These things must be addressed, so that we are able to come up with a good general. So that's how we approach, and even our support currently is the support that also follows that level. Now, I think that's how we dealt with. Now, the member issue, when we were doing that process, the municipality raised a very serious issue, and obviously it affected a number of districts. They said during the Section 17 process, the Department of Water Affairs transferred 2,400 unskilled staff to the municipality.
2,000?
Yeah, 2,000. Unskilled, old age and all those things. So now these people, they go to the municipality And do I also transfer water skins, you know, your treatment plan? These are the plans that need to make sure that people get quality water, also sustainable. But if there are people who are not, there are not people who are meeting these plans, and they don't have the required skills, then it was a problem. So when the minister was going to Malamulele for Imbizo, because the Malamulele part of him has still a challenge, even today, they have still a challenge in terms of water supply, then the municipality raised this issue again. So we felt that, no, surely we need to do something. Then we asked them to say, from minister side, we can do something to you, on condition that if we bring qualified people, some of them very experienced, we will deploy them on condition that after 2 years, they are in your staff establishment. We don't want a situation where when we leave, then everything goes down. So they agreed. They took me to the council. Council agreed. And then we put the service level agreement. We are currently signing that. And we have now finalized the interviewing process. We were very much involved with the municipality. And the condition is that we will look at the salaries for these people for 2 years. And after 2 years, these people will be in the employ of the municipality. And we believe that we would have done something that really can take that municipality forward. If we had deployed 3 people with those schemes and the number of challenges that they have, I think that would not even have any effect. So we felt that that's how we did. They actually had tested about 1,000 skills. So that's in terms of the organogram to manage that big infrastructure portfolio, they need a number of people. But we said, let's look at it, how can we do it over time? For now, this is how we're starting. But that process that we did with them has now attracted a number of districts. They feel that they have the same challenges, and we need to support them that way. And we feel that it's something that we're going to talk to Treasurer about, to say for us to implement this, we need to fund it. But it's not a money down the drain. You will see the only people working in municipalities who can make a difference. I think that's what we did in Vembe. Obviously, in terms of resources, if we do it the same for Vembe to other districts with the resources that we have, we are not going to actually do a number of them because we don't have money. But we are currently busy putting a motivation for us to deal with that. Obviously, there was a question of how the integrated support plan link up with the turnaround strategy. I think I've dealt with that because we analyze the turnaround strategy. We check all the treasury contribution formula in terms of what the vulnerability of municipalities. We did check that. And when we went to talk to municipalities, we made sure that when we leave the room, both us and the municipalities, we talk one and the same language. And we understand our problems in the same way. And I think that's one of the purpose of what we have done here. I think, obviously, the issue of accessibility has dealt with it. The question of the Mpumalanga support, and so on. We're still supporting, but the challenge that we have, Honourable Chair, is that from MISA we have money to provide technical support. But when you go to a plant, you find that this plant, there must be an expense, either from MIG, either from another grant from DWA or Ikrebushe, to try to deal with our findings that we found. I think that's where I think the challenges are. But I understand now DWA also is trying to think that way, because they now have our findings in terms of what really needs to be done. And as a result of that visit by the members, a number of municipalities now requested our support. So we just did a quick one for a number of plants in Mpumalanga, where we did our assessment and so on. And we are not only doing that in Mpumalanga. In our Tambo, we are doing the same. The last one we did in Giani, they started them, support a particular treatment plant. But Giani always doesn't have water, and the town is growing. The question was that what is going on, what needs to be done? We did go to the plant, assess the plant, we realized that the plant has got potential, but the operation maintenance part. And we agreed now with MM that there's a caution from MIG that it can utilize. And he said he was not aware of that, to try to upgrade the plant so that the plant can run at full capacity. So those are some of the things that we are doing. In that part, that's what we're also looking at. The question of the 24 districts that we are supporting, there are 24 districts that were prioritized by Kenya. Of those 24 districts, there are 21 which are water services authorities. These are the districts that provide water in their local municipalities. In Okwetu, we have two. It's Nakamdri, Mulema, and Tarek. And then Limpopo, there are four. Those ones, we're talking Mukani, Kupune, Rembe and then Capricorn District. We've got 10 in KwaZulu-Natal and then 5 in Eastern Cape. And then we also have to have this other additional district that yet does not have function. But cabinet wants us to look at them, at districts, Eshanzi District, John Taolo in Northwest. So we're looking at those districts. John Taolo in Northwest. We are looking at those districts. What we have done, because this issue of saying government has said to the people, by 2014, all South Africans will have water. And there was MIG, all the grants and so on. Now, today, if you go to some of this, where MIG was set, you find the pipes are there, but there's no water. And then sometimes you find that you have an extension of new people who just came. Now, how do we extend water to these people? Sometimes it's a problem of bulks of holes are there, they are drying up, and so on. What we did with Water Affairs, we did a thorough assessment where today we are able to say in SRZ how many settlements or villages, and we can link them, that are affected by the fact that they do not have infrastructure. And what is the strategy to deal with that? So Water Affairs came up with an interim water strategy. That is the strategy that we are implementing. Because we are saying that you are not going to only do the conventional, where you are taking water from them, treat it, and then distribute. Sometimes we must start thinking about on-the-site solution in such a way that you deal with the scheme there for that settlement, and you can distribute for that. That's the strategy that we are currently building. We are having one-on-one workshop with all districts. We have done with them, and tomorrow will be in one. What we are doing is that you have this MIG. Over 3 years, we find that it's maybe 2 billion for a particular municipality. How is this 2 billion responding to this finding that we came up with? So let's try to align the funding out with the backlog so that we must deal with the backlog as they are. And I think that's what we are trying to do in that part of the 24th district. It's the work that is continuing, and we are happy to see that we are getting support from the district. Now, this work was initiated by our minister and the Minister of Water Affairs. So at some point when we finish this workshop that we are doing, the ministers are going to call the workshop with all mayors to say this is the strategy that we need to implement to make sure that we fast track the service delivery to the people within this 24 district. And we are also told that there will be a number of funding that come from the CIPSIC that will also supplement this act that we are doing. So that's what we are doing in the district. But I believe that we may need to have maybe another session also where we come with all the details so that we can just deal with that, because I think we came with a high level understanding of what we are doing from MISA. But I would like to thank the Chair for this. I think I tried to deal with the number of issues.
Thanks, Borogo. I've known him for the past 3 years, and he keeps on changing. He says, no, you're not pronouncing it correctly. Pronounce it this way. I pronounce it this way. I say, no, it's not correct. So I have given up on getting it right. the next person will be Peter. Thanks, Paulo.
Peter. Thank you, Madam
Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair. Just again, my name is Peter Kenta. I'm heading the Municipal Technical Support Program in MISA. Best way to understand my role is to think in terms of the line management responsibility. The Technical Support Program is where the resources of MISA and the deployment model of MISA is actually managed on a day-to-day basis. That is where we design and implement the key activities of MISA, where we talk here diagnostics and ISPs and MOUs, all the functional stuff that needs to happen on an ongoing basis. It happens within my program. Okay. Another key element there is also the strengthening of the stakeholder partnerships within MISA. All of these things need to happen to enable MISA to deliver on its key mandate. In other words, to accelerate service delivery and to do it in a way that creates sustainable capacity. Thanks, Madam Chair. I'm going to touch on some of the issues. I'm going to follow the sequence of issues raised, more or less, but I'll, in doing that, I'm going to focus on the functional stuff rather than trying to remember what all the names are. Okay. Remember Smith, you know, it comes easy, but not all of them are coming that easy. I want to start by just clarifying some of the figures coming out of the report. There's the 81 technical experts that came from DSA, and there's 68 technical experts and 107 municipality support. Now, what is important to just note is that initially 81 technical consultants were transferred from DSA. That was officially on the 1st of April 2012. After 81 transferred to MISA, we only have 68 left. In other words, 13 resigned. Now, the reason for that is that we tapped into the labor market to get this expertise on board. It's often retired engineers that just want to work for a year or two and then really retire. So we have a turnover. So the figures came down to 68. We are currently finalizing a panel of technical consultants in the engineering field and the planning field in order to increase those figures again. So I think at the next committee you will see higher figures because there's a lot of needs out there. That figure needs a problem. The 107 municipalities supported. In terms of resources, they are supported by the 68 remaining technical consultants and the professional service provider. So jointly, between the two of them, we support 107 municipalities. That's where we have a footprint as MISA. Okay? In some instances, we only have an individual technical consultant. In some instances, we have a PSP. In other instances, we have both. Because we look at tailor-made solutions, and each and every municipality is unique in terms of its needs and challenges. So we work out the solutions around that. So in total, we have 68 individual consultants, 24 service providers, supporting 107 municipalities in total.
Sorry, just for clarity, so 68 is in-house, and the 24 are outside.
MISA piloted a reporting framework for its targets in the last quarter of the 12-13 financial year. It's important to note it was a manual system, Excel-based, just to get the project information in and to learn from the exercise. The intention is to, and we already have that, to prepare a specification, a terms of reference in order to automate the system. But the point I want to get to is that the drill-down report that was requested, it is indeed available. We can make it available. And the quarterly reports will also not be a problem. We already have that, all the data. Much room for refinement as we go along because it's very new. But we have some good base information and we can indeed make that available. A question was asked on MISA's not even a year old and there's all these things happening. I think, yes, there's a lot that happened in the last year, but it's also important to note that there's a few programs that were taken over from previous partners, and MISA had the opportunity to further build on that. So it was not a clean page starting from scratch. There were certain programs, like the Artisan program, for instance, that were inherited. The question on identification of municipalities for support, how is that done? Only thing I can say is that it is done in consultation. It is the approach and of MISA to identify municipalities in consultation with the provincial government specifically. Now, in terms of the monitoring and oversight responsibility of the provinces, that very good KPIs in place in order to indicate needy municipalities. In terms of the state of service delivery and backlogs generally, the leak performance, you know, the expenditure levels, and the level of skills or shortages. So municipalities due for support by MISA, they often stand out in terms of their needs. So it's a very easy process of identification. Normally there's consensus. municipalities, local capacity, and MIDI. The trend is that people agree on that. So that is a minor issue. Then I think Member Smith, a number of your questions. Are municipalities resisting support? I never experienced resistance, not in all, any of the municipalities. What we often get is a difference of opinion in terms of the deployment focus. They often see the MISA resource, or some of them see the MISA resource as a free staff member doing the day-to-day admin and management in the municipality, while the focus should rather be capacity creation, going in there, and in each and every support given, there should be an element of capacity building. In other words, when a position is vacant, they will facilitate the filling of that position and the skills transfer required. And I think that is the approach with MISA. But that can be, that difference of opinion can be solved through proper consultation. And it's normally the case, but really not resistance. I think most of them, all of them actually, is very appreciative of what MISA is bringing to that table. The diagnostic process, the diagnostic tool used by MISA is not new. We had a look at various other models in government. There's a number of them that's been tested. And MISA really tried to take the best from all of them. And we came up with a diagnostic framework with a set of key performance indicators for each service delivery area. And we tested against that. It's not a thick report, it's a very thin report because it goes on top of other assessment studies available, especially the MTAS reports. And the ISP is very close and pretty much aligned with the LGTAS. It was a major input into the ISPs. It's not a very different thing. I think it's more of a business plan in terms of executing LGTAS than anything else. So that is the approach that we follow. To what extent is the provinces playing a role? I think they are playing a very big role. We really don't move without the provincial support. It's a key stakeholder in the province, and it's very difficult, you know, to get a buy-in, even of the local municipalities without them. And we have a common interest, because we play in the same field. The MOUs, the SLAs with the municipalities, I think a major challenge up to now was that it's actually, I'm not sure if it came out in the reports, I don't think, but it's actually a tripartite agreement, because MISA and the municipality and the province sign off on it. Tri-party. Yeah, but it's three parties. And, you know, the expectation from the province is often a bit different because they want to do other things and the consensus is not easy. Going forward, I think it should just be between us and the municipality, but in consultation with the province. So that is one of the challenges that we are looking at and that we are working on. The municipality's contribution towards the deployment, what we expect from them at this stage is to make an enabling environment available to MISA and its team. So typically an office, IT support, your whatever is required to make MISA work at that level. Most of the municipality supporters are not in a good financial position, not very financially viable, not all of them, but many of them. But we are also in bigger municipalities in Gauteng, the western areas, Randfontein, Lesedi, Mbuleni. Certainly they can afford to contribute something. So I think going forward, MISA will probably have to look at a cost recovery strategy to also add to its own resources. Because at some stage we are going to reach the point where we say that now we really don't have any money left and there's so much more to do. So in terms of our funding strategy, it's definitely something I think that we should conserve going forward. The ISPs, it's not something that is developed and enforced onto a municipality. It's through a consultative process, through stakeholder forums, where everyone from the municipality, the province, the sectors, the MISAs, everyone is there. So So at the end of the day, there is a good buy-in and acceptance of the ISPs. It's a participative process from the very start. And like I said, it's closely linked to the LG tabs. More issues here. Some municipal managers had an issue with Senza Manji. How is MISA any different? At this stage, I can't think of any similarities because MISA is a new program with its own characteristics. The approach is so different in terms of how we deal and manage stakeholders and clients. Just to give you one example, the bank had a centralized management approach. MISA had a decentralized management approach. So the MISA program is in the provinces, not up here. It's happening there. It's very hands-on in terms of dealing with data issues. And I think it will go far in terms of addressing any possible problem or challenge that might pop up. I think some level of challenges, it's happening in any program. It's how we manage that. And I think the decentralized approach, in addition to all the other unique elements, I think it will go far. The 68 yard, that was clarified. How do we prioritize municipalities? Who is more deserving than others? I think we have clear guidelines in terms of, you know, the Cabinet 23 priority district and the water service authorities, etc. But we also support outside those priorities, like in the Western Cape and Gauteng, they're not part of that. So at this stage, we were privileged that we could, wherever there was a need, we could put the resources. It was never really necessary to prioritize and say, but we can't support you, we'd rather support that. At this stage, we are still in a position to support all the needy municipalities. But going forward, when resources really become a challenge, we will have to look at, you know, prioritization. But how do you prioritize? Because municipalities are so different. There's certainly things that we will look at. At this stage, we have top priorities in terms of cabinet decisions that we follow as a guideline. The MISA table is available at any point of time, where we are, what we do, who we support, so that will be made available. The percentage of rural municipalities, if one look at a 23 priority district, I think 80% is rural. So we have a pretty good presence in rural municipalities. I would say at least 80% of our resources go towards rural municipalities. But that is a kind of calculation that we can easily do in terms of definition. The MOUs, I've touched on that. Just two more things before I finish. The provinces, the partnerships with the provinces, how do we know that we are not duplicating? A key mechanism that we use to coordinate in terms of the MISA work is the LGTAS, the provincial forums. And in most of the provinces, we even co-chair those meetings. So the LGTAS and the ISP coming from MISA, is the coordination is happening in a proper form, LGTAS is provincial forum. And that eliminates, you know, most of the risk for duplication. The technical support, where did we get them? Individuals and PSPs. Like I said earlier, the individual consultants, we get them from the labor market, retired engineers, for instance, but also young professionals that seek the opportunity to gain the practical experience. So you will be surprised how many expertise is available in the labor market. So we have a strategy to identify them and to bring them on board. And then, of course, the professional service providers that goes through a proper open tender process. The difference between the individual consultant and the PSP is that you can deploy an individual consultant to oversee the total technical support requirement in the municipalities, and it's a full-time resource Well, the PSPs are most of the time appointed for project-specific deliverables. Although PMU support and PMU capacity building is a key deliverable for them going forward as well, but in most instances it's more project-based, where the individual consultant is a full-time resource supporting municipality and creating that internal capacity. Thank you. I think it's enough from me.
No, thank you, Peter. And Zakele Ngai will take us to capacity building.
Thank you, Honorable Chair members. Again, my name is Zakele Ngai. Chair, I will deal with the issues that were raised under capacity building, the capacity development. Chair, capacity building speaks to the issues of national, important national questions, namely the workplace experience, which is quite a challenge among our youth in the country, as well as skills development, the challenge facing the country on the unemployment of youth, the capacity development of officials that are already employed, but the challenges and also responding to the challenges that are raised in the National Development Plan from the issue of artisan development in the country. Chair, specifically responding to some of the questions, let me start with a question that was indicating whether we do have a breakdown in terms of different races in our artisan development program. Indeed, we do have other races other than the black young people. We have young women. Amazed would indicate that I've just visited one province and went through all municipalities where we have these artisans deployed, namely Mandeni, for example, about six of them are Indian of origin. Umsunduza municipality is the same mix. The Newcastle municipality and Watuwuza municipality. So it goes with other municipalities in other provinces. But indeed, obviously, the majority is made up of young black women and young ladies. The other question is on, again, apprentices. We inherited this program from the DBSA. We agree with that. But then our approach is that let's align it with the programs of government and target that government sets, whether it is through the National Development Plan or in other policies of government. So we had to go and revamp those programs that we have, that we inherited. But the challenge is that when we talk about artisans or apprentices, they are still deployed in those municipalities or workplaces where they were during the EBSA period, which some of them are not aligning with the municipalities that they are targeting. But from now onwards, we are now channeling resources to the municipalities that have been identified as municipalities that are falling within the 108 or those districts that were decided by the cabinet. And on the issue of the mentoring of engineers, it is correct. One of the capacity constraints that was discovered through the analysis in the municipalities, that municipalities do not have professionally registered engineers or engineering technicians. They have engineers that do not have experience and are not actually registered. And the challenge is that they're facing huge infrastructure development. And they cannot, if they are not registered, sign off some of the documents in a municipality. Therefore, our contribution in terms of capacity building is actually to put them through a mentorship program. We have signed an MOU with EFSA, Engineering Council of South Africa, which is assisting us with the deployment of retired engineers that are professionally registered and technicians to assist these young engineers. If you go to a municipality, you find that there are a lot of candidate engineers that have been sitting in municipalities for years because of the lack of exposure guidance and mentoring. Therefore, this program is trying actually to assist those candidate engineers or technicians to take them through the process with support and monitoring and mentoring by registered engineers through our responsibility as MISA, so that we can capacitate those municipalities where they are. So that is one program that we are looking at. There was also a question on the issue of specific provinces, whether we do have footprints. I must indicate, just as an example, the mention was that of the Northwest and the Northern Cape. When I went through my slides here, in the Northern Cape, for example, we've got footprints informed by it. These are the sort of flat municipality, the Kameel Lake municipality, the current municipality, and Kai Height. And it's got 17 apprentices altogether in those four municipalities. And in the Northwest, we have got the footprints again. We have four municipalities, the Westenberg, the Madibeng, the Motele municipality, and the Matosan municipality. So we do have footprints in all provinces, except Gauteng. When this program was developed, Gauteng was left out because they had their own urban development program. But we have now got into that province in collaboration with the Rainwater Foundation, because they had a few municipalities where they were supporting in terms of urban development. And I must indicate that in dealing with these programs, we look at partnerships. We have developed partnerships with universities, partnership with FHT colleges, partnership with engineering bodies or institutions like the EXA, the MESA, and more importantly, where the cities, because they are responsible for certifying these different traits that we are responsible for. And again, some of these institutions have got infrastructure in terms of accreditation of the traits. So we work with all of these institutions. On the issue of the 91 students that we are supporting that are at universities, we inherited the program from DCOC, that there were 50 at that stage. We have added a new cohort of 41, and also we extended the program. It was initially, it was just a civil engineering, and now we have added the electrical engineering. The criteria in terms of and a retention strategy is that when you recruit them, we use the provinces. We send out adverts, but we use the provinces in terms of contact in their respective provinces. When we send these adverts, and we make sure that they are nearer to those young people. One or few other areas that we look at in terms of the conditions that we want to spread in terms of maize and wheat in this specific field. We want to spread in terms of the geography, covering almost all provinces with the limited number that we have and the limited resources that we have. Currently, we are spending almost 3 million rand on these young people. And they are in various institutions, universities, and universities of technology. But of importance that at the beginning of the year, before they go for registration, we hold a session where we discuss their interest in terms of municipal environment and the exposure that they may get. This year, we signed an agreement with them that during their experiential learning, when they go out and do the practical, we place the municipalities so that they begin to acclimatize to the environment of municipality. And we make sure that we sign an agreement that there's going to be a work payback for the period that we have understood. Our contract is normally a 12-month contract for that financial year, and it is counted as a year that student will work back when he or she completes the degree if he continues up to the completion of the program. I think that I've covered most of the questions that you are in under capacity bodies. Okay, thank you so much.
Chair, I just want to find out, you say this, Senator, what term are you finishing? Are they 6 months or 12 months? Because if they're 6 months or 12 months, they're not apprenticeships. Then they're learnerships or crash courses. The apprenticeships take 3 years before there's a 5 year. I know I serve two apprenticeships. One to 4 years, one to 5 years.
Chair, that is apprenticeship, not learnership. We are able to differentiate. That's why we work with the colleges of education that are created by the cities to run these programs. And secondly, there is a national body, that is responsible for monitoring of this permit. So they take not less than 3 years. But obviously the challenge is the trade testing. Yes, thank you.
The years of study, is it linked to the payback period? So if someone has gone in for an engineering degree, 4 years, does he have to work back 4 years? Or is this contract only the 12-month contract that you spoke about? So if they could pay for someone to study, what is the, is it linked to the number of years that they study?
It is linked. Why are they in 12 months left? If we fund you for 12 months and then the following year we don't have the resources and therefore we're not funding you, you only pay back for the period that we have funded you. So we cannot sign a contract of 4 years when in fact you are not certain whether we will have the resources to cover you over 4 years. So every year we renew the contract in terms of that particular year. But the work back will be equal to the number of years per student that we funded that student.
Can I explain
what happens is that when we started the program, there were students that were on their second year, third year, or final year. In that instance, you will then, if we've just funded you, exactly, for 1 year, then we'll ask you to serve for 1 year. If we funded you for 2 years, it will be 2 years. If they are with the current cohort that we are starting on the from first day.
If now I think I'll go with honorable lesson. You said you find the project that you inherited from the COG. What were the agreements with the COG? You are not continuing with the agreement that if you say that you find them doing 3 years, 4 years, you take them, they only 2 years towards their accomplishing and the payback time to them. What is the previous agreement with the court? Because we are in the same umbrella department.
When we went through the contract that they had with the court, there was no contract in terms of the bank payback period. So we have had implemented as we said.
And secondly, the idea is not never to take a person on the first day and drop them when they start one, and then drop them on the second day. So that second is not going to happen. So once you take them on the first day or second day, then you must lead them through. Unless, of course, they don't perform academically, which is something else. Or that's correct.
Still on them, I'm very glad to hear that because we talk about top structure and students not having, so they will submit to year one, we must submit right to year four, as long as the student knows they went through. But I'm not satisfied that Mitya is only speaking up when he needs to come through. Because it's for government funding. Whether it came from BCOG, whether it came from CITO, whether it came from wherever, it's for government funding because government gives CITO the funding. So if they got from BCOG, whether they got from local government CITO, I think CITO still has the right to hold them for the full time that they receive funding. Because it's government funding, immaterial of which department or which section of government this has come from.
Honourable Lester, if flowers are made to the previous, like the COG, didn't sign them contracts, and how are they going to come their pay base? How are they going to receive that one? That's the problem that they according to my understanding, they are starting from their period whereby you describe your own contract that we suit that one. It means it's a loss. With the previous flowers from the
people. I want the money that he wants it to.
According to the contract,
I think that's
correct, Chair. The challenge is the contractual one. Thank you very much. It's interesting that I think the team members must take into account the comment that was made about examples in the other provinces. So going forward, I think we must make sure that we banish examples from Eastern Cape, KZN, and Kwampo, and we start having examples from the other provinces. Thank you very much. And we are all at the tail end of the responses, and I think I'll ask Siyabonga Dube to quickly take his, and if there's anything Mr. Mkuda from the department want to add on around the finance and corporate services, I'll ask him I'll ask Mr. Bitter to add.
Before the main process, can I get a clarity? We've got two CFOs here, one from DECOC and one from MISA. How do you do your financial statements, and to who do you account?
Well, with effect from this financial year that we are in, MISA will be preparing its own financial statements. And account directly to the minister. That's the executive authority. Yeah.
Who are the accounting officers?
That's correct. That's correct.
I'm sure if you said now, Mason's for the two parliament, but I've got something from Peter, who said now, fund, then recover. That is an elephant in the room now. Then if they want to get them there, recover, the fund is recovered from the same municipality. What is it now? Now if it is, I've got this at that time. Now they said now, Peter was saying, that they will have to find and find out their fund and then the recover. From the same last saga. So that means now there's something which we need to check with Lisa. No, but now, to sit down and find what is this
Mesa? The Chair, the Honourable Mashoba is 150% correct. If Mesa is allocated funding to support these municipalities, you can't expect then those municipalities to fund or to pay them. Mm-hmm. No, that would be unacceptable.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members of the Portfolio Committee. I think it's always a challenge to speak after my previous colleagues, because they really talk to the core programs of MISA and that's the interesting stuff. I think I'll release put my responses to the issues that connect to the expenditure. And perhaps to start by saying that if I think we need to share the organogram so that it is clear in terms of really what are the positions there, because that's why one of the contributing factors when one talks of the officials that could not agree actually to come across to MISA, because part of that was talking to the issue of relocating to other provinces and the challenges with that, which was not a question of not happening because of not wanting to, but because of the challenges that entails was involved in terms of saying, now we need to reallocate you to a different province and we've got families that you must definitely to think about. So that was mainly the reason for the same day then when the peacock. And then the other issue was then in terms of the residents from the municipalities or the suburb residents from the municipalities. I think that was the initial stage of the establishment of MISA. Because if other members recall that with the taking over of the CMBA major program, it was not clear in terms of is it really a new MISA without necessarily change management processes, or is it a continuation of the CMBA major. So there was no clarity at that point. So that's what then created those police, so at this stage that they are sorted out. And also the expectation from the municipalities then to say, is MISA going to be bringing a packet load of funding? to fund them in terms of the infrastructure program, which eventually turned out that was not going to be the case. That's one of how this was going to operate. But as at this point before, I think everything is 100% okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chuda?
Thanks, Honorable Chair, Acting CEO, Honorable Members. My name is Mawetu Kalani Chuda. I'll just first of all start to what my colleague has said on the people that at the departmental level call them displaced people were affected by the restructuring process and what processes were followed when we did the natural placing, and some of them ended up with visa and the majority of them are with CWP. What we did was that we as a department or the components within the department identified their capacity issues, their needs, what that they are looking for in terms of their own organogram. Then after doing that, then we look at their needs and the skills that was available from the department in terms of the people that were displaced. The majority of them, or all of them, were SLS members of this director's upwards. Then those people were matched and placed accordingly. The majority of them who are sitting here are affected by that, and they went to MISA, but the majority of them went to charity. And that also affected the other expenses that we spoke about earlier. Because in terms of the budget processes, we had hoped that these people will move to this components at the beginning of the financial year. But the agreement was signed later in the year, in September. And in terms of account, you couldn't transfer the expenditure to the different components because we looked at when the agreement was signed. And that affected their own expenditure patterns. And because that's the process that we followed, and as we speak now, we don't have those kind of people. We are still looking at how do we appoint those who are seconders to CWP on a permanent basis within the department. Coming to shared services, I quickly touch on the shared services as to why do you want to continue with this process. I think so has said that up to the end of the last financial year, we're operating as one, using one system of accounting. And our personal system was one, we're using PESA. But as from April, March, April this year, they will go on their own. They'll be preparing their own financial state, and they'll have their own financial system. And that makes it very difficult for now to provide that kind of assistance on a permanent basis. So we want them to build their own corporate services. While we're still assisting them, as I'm sitting here, we're still assisting them. But the intention is that once they are fully functioning, then they will do their own thing. Because if they have different systems, then it will be different. Because on our own, we're facing our own challenges. So this is a temporary arrangement. It will end as soon as they are fully functioning. And I think that's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I will take Vimba. I think that the colleagues have really covered also the issues around finance and corporate services. Just need us to also just indicate that, just to add to what Mawet just mentioned, is that as part of the condition of establishing MISA, as an example, where because you need to have a concurrence of Minister of Finance as well as concurrence of Minister of Public Service and Administration. They also put their own conditions to that establishment process, that we agree to this establishment provided that, as an example, MISA operates as a trading entity, which is not what the department does. So the systems of accounting, you know, that the department operates it will be different from the systems of accounting that MISA will operate. And hence, there's a need to make sure that we also build our own internal capacity, just to make an example of the issue that Mawet was raising. If I could ask Danda Zolima to then deal with issues relating to PSPs, just be mindful that the colleagues have dealt with some of these issues, so just deal with those that the colleagues have dealt with. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Acting CEO. Good morning, Honorable Members, Chairperson.
Afternoon already.
No, thanks. My name is Ntandazo Vimba. I'm responsible for a program called Vendor Services. Within each there is legal services which focuses to the MISA corporate support as well as vendor management. Vendor management focuses on the management of the professional service provider that we are talking about. Yeah. I think Peter has to a certain extent responded to some of the questions in relation to why professional service providers and technical consultants. Mine will be to just add on why professional service providers. As Peter indicated, the integrated support plan identified a number of support requirements for municipalities. And these requirements, they differ. Some, they will require an individual to come and help them, and so on and so on. Some, they will require that a master plan be developed. And now, when you look at these requirements, for a master plan, it cannot be done by one discipline. It requires a number of technical expertise for it to be completed. Then we said, how do we then respond at least like this number of requirements the municipalities come up with? Then we came to the approach that we have individual technical experts to focus on those things that requires MISA to come and deal with on a full-time basis to capacitate municipalities and so forth. And then have professional service providers to deal with those project-specific issues like the master plan to enable that at least we leave a long-lasting legacy in the municipality, because in most of these municipalities, the biggest challenge is the fact that they do not have infrastructure master plans. Then we appointed these professional service providers, of course, informed by the integrated support plans that we developed because of the municipalities and the provinces as well as the sectors involved. And over and above the ISP, after having appointed the service providers, we then said they must go to each of the municipalities that they have appointed to support and do a detailed need analysis with sectors, MISA, the province, and the municipalities, and come up with a scoping document with a clear project implementation plan, the milestones in terms of specifics now, and how are they going to go about responding to a particular need that the municipalities identified with clear time frames and milestones. Then it is those PIPs, or project implementation plans, that then informs the contract document that was developed with this PSPs. So I must indicate that the contract that we have with the PSPs is a 15-month contract, renewable of course depending on whether or not the third tier PSPs have been able to move in terms of responding to the municipality's needs and so forth. I think I've tried to respond at them and I think so, I'm sorry to say, I used to call him Kerman, it's his clan name. Thank you.
No, thanks, Viva. Madam Chair, I don't know if there are other questions that haven't been responded to. I was thinking as I was going along, other than, of course, those that the honorable members were asking for, were comments, but also asking for further information. And I think it is, we really would welcome, in fact, this is one area that we've been discussing internally to regularly engage MISA, regularly engage and report back to the portfolio committee. And we really would welcome that to share with you our progress. I think in the next, I've noted the some of the areas that we need to address during our next engagement, including specifics regarding the organogram, the detailed information regarding which municipalities, what kind of support is provided per municipality, a breakdown on projects that we are involved in those municipalities, but also submit quarterly reports, but also share with the committee documents such as your integrated support plans. And lastly, before I allow the Honourable Member Chair, is that we are, I think it's important that we acknowledge that as we sit in front of you, it's not an ideal representativity that you would want to see. I think that must indicate ourselves. I think that it certainly is a need to enter a much more diverse management, but also diverse staff, below management. We're conscious of that. We've put in place actually measures to make sure because we are currently recruiting, we've put in place measures to ensure that we address the issue of diversity within our staff and management.
And so you've asked me to my language, it's difficult to go back to English. I wanted to say, I think you've now done the job, because I think I was the one supposed to do the summary and give whatever transpired among the deliberations. But thanks for that, and we've captured all the issues that we needed follow-ups on, and it has strongly came up from the meeting. Remember, I think we must take time. We still have other items. I'm seeing here that all of you want to come in for... The response to Mr. Matlau is saying if he has responded to all the questions. I don't know how they are going to put us. In 5 minutes time, I'll give you one minute, highlight questions, but they're going to respond in writing so that they'll be able to. I'm starting from
Chairperson, a question on the understanding due to the personnel which didn't come on board. I didn't hear it. And I even said that what was the process of negotiating. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just a general question to Misa. Misa, how do you address gender equality? I'm saying this because you've got about 6 men, only 1 female. And I'll propose, it's my proposal, that since one of our speakers highlighted that they're busy with their recruitment and so on, through your recruitment plan, please consider women, and I'm aware what you have discussed here. You've got so many responsibilities where I think there are women who can occupy those positions. Thank you.
These are just questions that I just remind the colleagues. What do you do about lack of maintenance budgets in municipalities? Big issue. Secondly, what do you do about the new budget cycle which municipalities are entering, and if your interventions would require budgetary adjustments? How do you handle that? Thirdly was, what do you do about infrastructure challenges when infrastructure is run down and there aren't the funds to restore the stuff? So you can identify the problem, but you can necessarily solve it. And then the last one was, given that capacity has not been dealt with the last 15 years by anybody else successfully, what do you think you can handle it?
Maybe I can give 3 minutes to respond to that one.
Yeah.
Come in, Martin.
Okay, my question is, what is the reason for employing retired engineers who would not be committed to stay in employment? But I want to serve 2 years and then retire, not benefiting me in any way.
Can I just ask Kotelani to respond to the first 3 questions, and then I'll take the other ones. Kotelani.
Okay, thank you. We just appointed a lady that she's not here today to deal with operation and maintenance. It's the director. I think the question of operation and maintenance are serious issues. What we are doing, particularly on that field, we want to quickly do an assessment of where are the problems in terms of maintenance. Because you see, if it's the budgeting issues, then you also have national share with the finance support. That is something that we need to collaborate on. But as we need to look at that, because if you talk about maintaining a road, usually roads were supposed to be funded through your rates and taxes. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about water, you sell water and then people pay for the service so that you can, electricity and so on. So we're trying to avoid generalization, to just say, oh, we have problems, and let's go to Mafikeng. And let's look at the Mafikeng budget. Let's analyze it and point that, Mr. Mayor, the problem here is that you need to put more money in this. So that's the one that we currently are looking at. But if we don't do that, we'll keep on saying, no, maybe we need to have a grant to operate in case, which is also difficult to get that through treasury. So that is one program that we're currently building to make sure that we're able to properly support municipalities on the operation and maintenance. And I believe that we're going to get it right. And as I indicated earlier, from MISA side, we are not going to have money to do the hard work, you know, putting things on the ground. Because our money is on the support side. So, but when you from support, you're able to show those ones who are leading that this is where the problem is. If the Bushen can do this, your rates and taxes, your service charges can do this, then we help together with Treasury to change how people do the budgeting. But now the challenge is that when you look at that, you have to look at the issue of the personal budget. But sometimes you find that the personal budget affects the budget for operation and maintenance. I think those are some of the issues that we are looking at. Similarly, the issues of the infrastructure that is currently being run down. The minister gave us a task to really start thinking about going and assess, and this is part of what we are doing with this plan that we are doing. We have done a lot of assessments so that we are able to tell this plan where are the problems and so on, what needs to be done and so on. So I think those issues, they can obviously inform how budgeting must be done from national today, where do we have to take the money. Yesterday we had engagement with Financial Fiscal Commission. They ran the study about the local government fiscal framework. Some of the things that they are looking about, and we compare it with some of the assessments we have done so far, we realize that are things they need to change. So as part of that, we are going to work with them to try to, so when they recommend budget input to national treasury, they need to then think about that way. So, but it's work on progress, which we are looking at. Thank you.
Okay. And then just quickly on the issue of underspending due to personnel, what was the process? We started by engaging the representatives of labor on the process that we were going to implement. And there was, of course, they initially were not happy, but there was an argument that they would be involved throughout the process. And we had then to meet with each and everyone individually of the staff members that were affected, all of them individually, and then put in place our proposal, and then they would put their proposal, and then we'd engage, and eventually they agree, and then we'd both sign. So that's a long process that we're talking about in terms of ensuring that a comprehensive engagement process that took long. I will certainly take the proposal around gender equality. As I indicated earlier, we have factored that in our recruitment processes, that we need to address the issue of gender equality to our recruitment processes. So we definitely have taken that into account. And then just lastly, around capacity building, it's we agree it's one of the problems previously that we, you know, that the capacity building programs never really achieved. You can look at
that if you look at even the 2010 World Cup, the issue of if there's no clear authority that coordinates the processes, where everyone thinks that now they want to get to a capacity building program and then they just go into municipalities. So you find that the municipality has six capacity building programs run by different entities. And of course that caused chaos in the municipality. And with us, we are pushing ourselves, we are stamping our authority that when it comes to technical capacity building, we are the authority that coordinates that. And so far, institutions and departments are responding positively. And so we're quite hopeful that, if we continue on the line that we are stamping our authority, because that's critical, we will be able to ensure that our capacity building program achieves the desired impact. And lastly, around the retired engineers, we inherited some of these from Senator Manjin, as the members will know. And we had an agreement with DBS that we will take over these retired engineers. But we have been mindful that we need to change the process and change also the look of these engineers and give opportunities also to your young engineers or technicians. And that's why we are not too worried when we get some leaving, and retiring from the program, because that gives an opportunity without us chasing anyone away. So it must be a question of natural attrition. We want to make sure that we are not seen to be we want to retain some of them so that they also can mentor the experienced one to mentor the new ones. So it's that's the strategy that we use it. Okay.
Thanks for the presentation. Then we're looking forward, but I think according to our program, the parliament is rising the 20th. It looks and that we will be maybe programming you next time possible. But according to our program that you are still going to discuss with the fellow committee, we're looking forward to next time to do most of oversight going out to provinces. We've been not sitting here, we'll be doing oversight outside provinces. We're still going to bring the program and members next week so that we'll discuss it, we adopt it for next time. I think we'll shortly the program for now with members so that we have the minutes. The few minutes, maybe 5 minutes when you leave, we'll continue members taking. We've got 30 minutes that we need to adopt. I think we might put the rest of the board on this one because we have piled up with minutes. We have to take a decision that each and every minute, each and every meeting, we need to adopt some. So the three next will be adopting another one. I was hoping that the 6 minutes of the 5th of March, there's a draft, we need to adopt them from page 1. Okay, the third second, it means that all of us, you've got them and they're all let me just for record, the minutes of 3 March has been 5 March has been I'm coming there. What? I'm saying for record, the minutes of the 5th of March have been adopted and seconded too, and the minutes of the 12th of March have been supported and seconded true, and the minutes of the 26th of February have been supported and seconded.
But they have to be in sequence. How do we...
Thanks, members. I think the meeting is at
Yes. 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 Y